Hey, welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin. And before we started the episode today, I just wanted to give a little background as to what it actually is. So we've titled it Not 506. What? What does that mean? Well, if you're a regular listener of the show, you probably already heard our 506 episode, Norman Mailer, I'm Pregnant, with our delightful friend of the show, Allie Gertz. And what you may not know is that that was actually our second attempt to record that episode. Our first attempt is what you're about to hear. So we booked comedian extraordinaire Pete Holmes, who Demi and I are both huge fans of. We love him so much. And what ended up happening as recording it is it became less about Gilmore Girls and more just about TV in general and a discussion of taste and distaste and likes and dislikes. And it was definitely not episode specific. We definitely did not do it justice. I think about halfway through, both Demi and I bailed on trying to have a discussion of the show. We don't do Q&A. We don't do any of our regular segments. And it just becomes a fun, delightful little hour and a half of talking and laughing and kind of in the vein of some of our early episodes, like season one, season two, when we would invite hilarious people on and a lot of them would not enjoy the show. So this is a little bit like that. We love Pete so much. We've been sitting on this audio for a long time, looking for the right opportunity to release it. And I think right before we go into our break and as the last episode of 2015, it is very fitting to release this as a little bonus. So we hope you enjoy it. It's definitely not going to be a great discussion of 506, which is why we're calling it Not 506. We talk about Gilmore Girls maybe 60% of the time and the rest about other things. So if you're looking for a good Gilmore Girls discussion, maybe keep looking. But if you want to hear from us and Pete Holmes, then keep on listening. We hope you like it.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace, because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website, so exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace, so you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
A bit frustrating, but also we powered through. So let's hope we don't have a hat trick with the next show.
A hat trick?
That's when you accidentally break your hat on the microphone and it stops working.
Well, no, that's a mutual friend of ours.
Huh?
That's a mutual friend of ours, I think.
Oh, Hattrick Walsh?
Hattrick Walsh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pete's face just now.
Wait a minute.
That upset me.
Is it upsetting?
Well, no. Pete, we got like an hour to go, so...
Episode 506.
You've done 506.
Norman Mailer. Oh, no.
105.
Yeah.
Six.
Oh, I see.
Season 5, episode 6.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
We got Hollywood numbers here.
Right. Hollywood numbers, baby. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're
playing the song again.
The Gilmore guys. Guys, Gillies. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Gilmore Guys.
That's right.
We've traveled down this road. We are here. Let me give a peek behind the curtain for what's occurred.
There's a curtain?
Yeah, I mean the podcast curtain. This episode, we're in a new location. The last episode, 506, new location. The episode before that, totally different location.
At this rate, we are never going to go back to the place that we recorded our original episodes.
God, I hope not.
You hope we don't go back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like being... Don't you like being a road dog?
It's true. I feel like... what's his name? Mad Max? The Road Warrior?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pete.
That is his name.
Correct.
Guys, there's someone in the room.
I always forget.
There's an elephant in the room.
Is that a fat joke?
No, sir.
Oh, you know my good memory and long, long nose.
There's an elephant.
My gray clothing.
And we need to introduce this elephant right now. In the room, that is. So let's do that.
La la.
Come on.
La la.
Special guest. Well, you may know him from the beloved but short-lived The Pete Holmes Show. You may know him as Batman from Funny or Die Shorts. You may know him from specials like Nice Try, The Devil, or his own podcast, You Made It Weird. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Pete Holmes! That's lovely. We're taking it to church. Hozier style. Hey, you know something about that.
I've never heard of that song.
Pete Holmes.
The music fading needs to be worked out.
Here's the peek behind the curtain. We do that in post, so I can...
You do?
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I feel like an asshole now.
So this comment makes no sense. Take this comment out in post.
No, I'm gonna keep it in.
We're going to double it, so it just makes you look super rude.
Or you know what? I'll keep the edit in.
I know.
So I look like the bad guy.
No, please. Thank you for having me.
Pete.
On the Gilmore Guys.
Yeah. The Gilmore
podcast.
Guys
yeah.
podcast.
I like it a lot.
Not the Gossip Guys podcast, the Gilmore Guys.
Does that podcast. Exist?
That exists as of today.
Really?
Yeah, they put out their first episode.
Look, shout out to them.
Are you guys the first people to be like, hey, it's a girl's name and then we're going to be the guys that talk about that show?
I'm sure we are not.
I mean, I don't want to say we're trailblazers. I don't want to not say we're trailblazers.
I want to do a podcast called Trailblazers that we only talk about City Slickers 1 and 2.
Bruno Kirby, shout out.
Or the NBA.
Now, Pete, let's talk about your journey in coming on this very podcast.
Oh.
Because it was long and storied. There were, as
storied.
I think...
Multiple chapters.
Both Demi and I are listeners of YMIM.
YMIW.
You made it mirror.
Oh, you made it mirror.
It's easy because it sounds like YMIW. Why am I weird?
And up to this point, there's been two little mentions of our show.
On your show.
There was a person at a live show of yours in San Diego.
I remember that.
There was old Patty Walsh, mm-hmm. the aforementioned. giving us a little plug-in.
Hat-Trick Walsh? Hat-Trick Walsh.
The Hat-Trick Walsh.
Yeah.
Rule of threes.
Hat-Trick Walsh mentioned it?
Yeah, that's right.
What did he say?
He said...
I was on it.
Yeah.
Oh, he just mentioned...
Pretty much.
I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately, Penny.
Yeah.
that's the Gilmore Guys.
That's a good hat-trick. Oh, man. I've been trying to work on that just for a long
Seinfeld.
Time.
Just do a subtle Seinfeld.
It's like a subdued Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Penny, I'll tell you. Things are looking up for old Patty.
Yes. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Although sometimes it's like, Petey. Just like that weird like downslope.
Or he either does Seinfeld or he does George. Because he'll be like, Patty's getting upset. You know, like he'll do that too.
Not feeling it.
Oh, my gosh.
A BP.
We did. When he was, the last time he was on the episode, we asked him to rate it on a scale feeling it to not feeling it.
Was
true.
He feeling it?
He was feeling it. Yeah, that was episode 402. He's a fan fave now.
Yeah.
He's
and an us fave.
The question is, are you going to become a fan fave?
Yeah, I don't know.
On the Gilmore Guys.
Do you think I'm
going
to listen to this? I'll tell you. if I had to watch the show.
Sure.
Then absolutely not. I really couldn't stand it.
Really?
Yeah. You couldn't stand it.
I
want to
be.
It.
Do you really love the show?
We sincerely and legitimately love the. I feel that's like that weird. Is the secret. It's weird.
I think that's odd.
What's odd about that?
No.
Can
I'm
men
glad
not
you
like
it.
Women's
it has
things?
Nothing to do with that. No, I actually found the show to be aggressively masculine.
In what sense? Because I might agree with you
it's
on
Aaron
some level.
It's Aaron Sorkin. It's that sort of ripoff. Every line is like a phallus protruding from the page. Everybody has to speak at triple speed. The scripts must be like 75 pages
they
long.
They are.
Because
they're
like, well, that's how fucking guys are. Look at all my references and you're red like a lobster. And Red Lobster, that's a restaurant. You're like, drawn butter. I can draw you some drawn butter. They even in this episode reference how they're like, and I'm out of air. And she's like, that's a little condiment humor. I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. I watched half of it. I was in such a state of anxiety and stress watching it. It was trying so hard. It was like, what if we give you everything? If it were a real woman show, Girls, 90210, Dawson's Creek, One Tree Hill, that's what I thought it was. And then it was like, oh, this is like The Social Network on Adderall.
So do you, first of all, I love The Social Network.
I know, I love The Social Network, but you give it Adderall, next thing you know, everyone's like, that's a little condiment humor for you. Get the fuck out of my face, you multicam, pretending to be a single cam. It's horse shit.
So how do you feel about Aaron Sorkin's actual projects? Like, do you also
I love
feel
Aaron
like-
Sorkin. I'm really looking forward to the Steve Jobs movie. I think when it's done well, but this show really, I understand that people like it and people that listen to this podcast probably like it. It's just turned up too much for what I'm looking for out of television.
And what were you looking for? Well, what
it
was
it felt
your...
like I was babysitting 17 yippie dogs. It has nothing to do with women or male. The male characters were just as atrocious. The guy, the editor at the newspaper, that's just like, this guy right over my shoulder is a big bag of bullshit, and I can't stand him, and I'm going to be a journalist. And she's like, well, I'm going to be a journalist. I'm the prostitute from Sin City. Get the fuck out of my face.
But that's your entry point to Alexis Bledel, is the prostitute from Sin City.
She's
City.
Great in that. I think she's very a lovely woman. And I was looking forward to, if you told me that there was a show, a single cam show about a mother and her daughter, and they're very close, then I would be like, all right, we're going to like learn and grow.
And love.
And what I'm looking for, like to give you some context.
Sure.
And I'm talking way too much. And
no,
then I'm going to let it breathe. My favorite show is Mad Men. My favorite TV show is Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Internal dramas,
mm-hmm.
people keeping things inside.
All subtext.
It's all subtext. There's a lot of staring out windows, staring out plane windows. There's a lot of smoking scenes. There's quiet, thoughtful sips. It gives you all this time to ingest. And this really just was like someone played a Ricky Martin album and then started playing like a Daft Punk album as well. And if that, like maybe your lives aren't as exciting as mine, but I'm looking to wind down. That was a joke. But I'm looking to wind down. I put it on and I literally couldn't take it.
So if this, say this show was an hour and a half, same show, slowed down, like same amount of words, just spaced down. Do you think it would?
Yep.
Okay. So it's.
I don't like when I'm watching it and I'm like, they struggled to cut this to time.
Right.
So it should be 2 hours long.
Yeah, really what I am is the
episodes.
I'm the biggest Gilmore Girls fan there ever was, because I was like, this should be longer. They should take their time. But they should also, it's just like, it's one of these shows that's going like, if we make 15 jokes a minute, if two of them land, then we're doing pretty good.
Yeah. A kitchen sink approach.
Yeah, when I'm like, no, find the filet, grill it, and serve it to me. Don't be like, maybe one of these will get, because I did laugh. I will tell you, I laughed a couple times.
You had a ghillie check.
A
ghillie check is actually what
ghillie chuck.
What Hattrick Walsh branded what it means to laugh at this show.
It kept it's getting like a subtle, me. Like, hmm. I watched half of it. No, I had like real, that's a good one. And I was acknowledging, but that doesn't mean anything. It's like fucking Cheesecake Factory. It's like the menu has everything. Just give me like an elegant menu that has like five things done really, really well. None of this like, you're going to have popcorn shrimp and sushi and fucking T-bone steaks and, you know, frozen ice cream.
You want a
one-page treats.
Menu, not one that reads
yeah.
like a novel.
Mad Men Word a Menu is a restaurant where they go, there is no menu. The chef has prepared something very special for you. Gilmore Girls is like a fucking food court. It's like you could watch 15 people could watch it and you'll all laugh at different times. And if those laughs are different tonalities, you could line it up and be like, I think we're going to play Jingle Bells right now.
So it's a musical show.
Like, you could be a fan of the show, but I'm just saying it's just too much. It feels like you're in a room of the Titanic and water is coming in the floor. It's panic and it's too much.
Too much.
Too much.
Well, this has been Gilmore, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, Pete.
I've been the first person that doesn't like the show.
I'd say the third.
Third or fifth.
Really?
A differential of two.
I'd say Husky. I'd say Spencer. I'd say Rogers. I'd say...
That's true.
Yeah.
I could see how it could be likable, but, you know, maybe... Expectation has a lot to do with it.
Sure.
It's called Gilmore Girls. I thought there was going to be white wine. Sex in the City is a woman show that I enjoy. I like girl shows. This show, the openings, let's take it beat by beat because I only watched half of it.
Well, can we take it beat by beat?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is episode 506. I have the wrong notes.
And I love Norman Mailer.
We all love Norman Mailer.
Well, interesting. We'll get to that. 506, Norman Mailer, I'm Pregnant. Another episode title in which the title is a quote from the show. Okay, so the Netflix synopsis of this show, of this particular episode, is Lorelai and Suki are thrilled when Norman Mailer starts frequenting the Dragonfly Inn dining room. Rory discovers an intriguing secret society, which that doesn't really happen. The point of these Netflix synopses is that they're often bad, inaccurate, incomplete, misleading.
I just saw on Hulu, the synopsis of Seinfeld is like, the new pilot from comedian Jerry Jerome Seinfeld... is about a group of friends trying to win your heart. And it's like the Soup Nazi
episode. That true?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Wait,
oh,
the new pilot from...
No, it's not just the pilot. It's any episode. It'll be like fun, wacky George Costanza is a...
They're really trying to upsell
ne'er-do-well.
In case people haven't heard of Seinfeld.
That's what. But there literally are phrases like, sure to become an American classic.
Oh,
and it's
boy.
Like... That is a classic.
Yeah, you bought it. You bought it for $500 million.
You're going to have to cue me. I am way too hot. Are we listening to something now?
Not yet. The German episode title is Tanz der Hormone, which means Dance of the Hormones.
Of course.
And French episode title is Une Grossesse et une Écrivain, which means...
A gross and an Écrivain.
A pregnancy and a rider.
Right. We said the same thing.
Yeah. So let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Cult.
Sure. Where we take every pop culture reference in the episode.
God.
And we put them in.
What a nightmare. Why did you do this to yourselves?
Because we love it. We sincerely love it. This is not a bit. This is not us shitting on the show.
Oh, I don't want to shit on the show, but I am interested in why you would impose it on anyone.
Everyone just shut off the podcast. That's fine.
Okay, we're going to take every pop culture reference. It's episode 506. Norman Mailer, I'm Pregnant. Pop Goes the Culture.
Norman Mailer, I'm Pregnant.
How long ago did his name? Rose leave? You got Bambi voice.
But if I had decided to bail on Rory and follow the Bengals around the world.
It's like being there. He's Chauncey Gardner. I'm going to take down all 22 Chicago albums. Booyah.
Maureen Dowd told me it's all the same. Not that big flirt has any idea what she's talking about.
If you build it, they will come.
And you went from Star Trek convention to Boba Fett fan club symposium.
You'll have to keep Gore Vidal on the other side of the room. But you know, probably Gabriel Garcia Marquez will run interference for us.
Hi, we should be on the guest list. Halston and Liza are expecting us.
And how the hell did you get Jesse Jackson's barber's number?
Let's say it's the new Interpol, you heard it?
Her father was the regular security at the gallery when Lars Ulrich sold all his art.
And so he was married to Marilyn Monroe. Who wasn't?
That was Arthur Miller.
Little
West Joy Division this time, or Nick Cave got mugged by Paul Weller with some 17 seconds Sarah Cure thrown in.
Oh, did you see Mothman Prophecies?
Yes.
If Rabbi Feldman calls,
this
call
is one of the jokes that made me laugh.
Office.
Man, she said, did you see the sequel? Again? And he goes, no. And then she says, someone gets sick. Yeah, there were good jokes in it. Stand by
your man. We could end up like the Van Buren's.
As in Mr. and Mrs. President?
As in Abby and Anne.
You're like a superhero with red boots and a golden lasso.
He's gonna be Bob Woodward. I made it happen.
Just another manic Monday.
All I know is when Billy Joel came into the Independence Inn, he would pack it away. Appetizers, main course, and 2-3 desserts. That was a man that knew how to eat.
The restaurant was empty every time they showed it.
Yeah.
She's like, he's taking up one of my four tops.
Yeah, she's wrong. They need to cut lunch.
Yes.
She's 100% wrong.
They need to cut lunch. That is so funny. It's too slow for lunch.
Too slow for lunch.
Yeah.
It frustrated me because of how selfish she was being, just going like, well, it's one of my things. And I was just like, it's fine.
What do you mean it's one of my things?
She kept saying like, well, that's one of my things. Why do we cut one of my things? Why don't we cut another employee's thing? And I was just like, don't consider it your thing. Think of the good of the inn and how cutting lunch saves money.
Wait, cutting lunch comes up later?
It does. It's probably in the second half.
Yeah, it sounds like a second half plot twist. They're deciding to cut lunch.
Cut and run lunch.
I really tried.
What? Do you remember the breaking point in the episode?
It wasn't anything in particular. In fact, even listening to that wasn't... I don't know, man. I don't typically like people like that either. Like, I'm not a big Chandler fan. That's sort of like sarcasm. Like, canned culture from Crate and Barrel, you know, like, just get out of my face. Like, or even counting the pop culture references of like, that doesn't really thrill me to be like, ooh, Mothman Prophecies. Man, I don't want to be a bad guest. I want to be a good guest.
So we're in the category of people you don't care for already. Yeah,
well, that's what I said. I was like, this is like a hell show. For me, it's a hell show where no one keeps anything inside. There's no reflection. It's just constant like, well, I have a problem with you. Well, you have a problem with me. Well, maybe I have a problem with that haircut. It looks like fucking Dolly Parton. You know, and it's just like, the ball is always rolling. Yeah, I feel like you need cocaine to watch this show.
Well, you might. But before we all sniff it up, let's go into the time machine. Let's take a look at how the WB promoted this show in 2004. And watch a little promo.
Next Tuesday.
Oh no, he's back.
Rory.
Nice to see you.
As Rory follows her curiosity.
You tracking me?
Yes.
Following my every move.
Luke and Lorelai's new romance continues to grow.
I like the pace of this.
But they have no idea.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all about to change.
Hello?
Lore.
Your dad needs help.
Rory,
I want you to stay away from her.
Fresh Gilmore Girls.
Ooh, I should have stuck around.
Do you want to finish the episode?
You know, no, never. You know who I relate to most is the guy at the beginning who said, Luke says, I can never pick you up here again.
Yeah. Oh, well, because Lorelai was a bit of a nightmare in that teaser. Yeah.
I felt like it never really slowed down after that pace.
You know what I will say, though, in defense of the show, is that a lot of the times they build the first few acts up just to be like, it's comedy, and then they slowly introduce the drama, and then they kind of take it down, but even then when they take it down, they have moments where it's like dramatic, and Lorelai still gotta be like, blah, 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 just to like sort of show how frustrated she is, and I think that the characters around her acknowledge that a lot by going like when Luke is just like, I can't pick you up, and he's just like so chill and just kind of
yeah.
Like, yeah.
I hear that. You know, you're making me realize that, like, it reminds me of nervous moms.
Yeah.
Like, when you meet your girlfriend's mother. This is all of my girlfriend's mothers,
is this
the
what
way.
The show should have been called?
My girlfriend's mother.
Or nervous moms.
Nervous moms. That sort of thing where you say everything and you're just like, hot or cold, or maybe you run a little bit with it and have warm. It's like, get the fuck out of my... I know I've said that so many times. I think it's more of a reflection on me and my temperament and what I'm looking for.
Well, it's kind of a litmus test, because does an opinion about a show or a movie say more about the show or movie? Or say more about the person experiencing
it? It's completely
it.
Subjective. I would never, like, I wish people would do this with stand-up comedy. They'd just be like, it's just not for me. It's right. Not what I'm looking for.
Sure.
I laughed a lot. And Valerie, my girlfriend, was sitting next to me, and she was like, I love this show, and she wanted to watch it with me. So, and she has great
taste.
She
here? Can she get on my...
Yeah. but yeah, it was just a little intense. It was intense.
It was intense. I would concur with Demi, though, that we do see an X3, X4 of this show. the unseen ex.
Yeah.
For you.
Forever.
The Apocrypha. That you do see the pace slow down. You get the bummer ending with Christopher. Yeah.
All right.
Totally. Let's get into it in what might become a discussion about the episode that you participate in with talking about the namesake of the episode, Norman Mailer, I'm Pregnant.
Yeah.
Norman Mailer. Okay, let's hear
Mr. Mailer.
Some sweet ass
great honor
improv.
Doing this interview. So I just want to thank you.
Can I give you a tip?
Yes, sir.
I wouldn't start that way for a simple reason. I don't trust compliments. I've been getting them for years. Sometimes I deserve them, sometimes I didn't. But generally, when people give you a compliment, there's a one or two things wrong with them.
Sometimes I deserve
either
them, sometimes I
they
didn't.
Are false. Or what's worse is they're
sincere. A writer.
They really mean the compliment.
And okay.
Yeah. You know, to make fun of myself.
Sure.
When Norman Mailer was on the screen, I was like, this is the show I want to watch. Because I am clearly the wrong person to watch this show.
Well, I tell you what, that is such a reflection because this is the first and this is the only time on the TV show that someone was allowed to improvise all of their lines.
He improvised all his lines?
Yeah. All his lines. I mean, the Suki stuff, it was like one word answer, yeah. So I'm sure he didn't improvise that.
See, you told me a few episodes ago that there was going to be a time when someone comes in and improvises their lines. And from the second he starts talking, I was like, it's this guy.
It's this guy.
And
it's such a different rhythm from the show.
It is. I don't falter. I get it completely. And yeah. I don't mind at all.
I feel like they found things. I was thinking about this, that they found points that he makes in interviews. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just like riffing as
I
much
think
as
he
I think
was.
They might have,
but
told
he was asking him things about like. Sorry, Demi.
No,
I feel like he was setting him up.
Yeah, no, I feel like they definitely were asking his son, who was interviewing him, to like
that was his son
talk about sure. certain points, and like when he says, "Can I give you a tip?" I think that they wanted him to improvise because they're like, "Well, what the fuck are we gonna write that sounds like Norman Mailer and reads like Norman Mailer? We can't write Norman Mailer."
Unless
so like,
you're taking, I would be curious if there are those quotes in other interviews he did, and I would put my money on yes. So the improv that we're seeing is, I bet the script said, Norman Mailer talks about how a book is like a secret affair.
Maybe.
Because then he says, what's
oh,
your
so
new
that
novel?
There's bullet points.
Yeah, so it's not really improv as much as, this. I would bet money on this, it's like in this part, because he's an old man.
Well, but he studied like, under Besser.
Is that an acting coach?
That Matt Besser. He's the fifth of the UCB. He's the secret member of UCB.
That's really funny.
He's the fifth of
I just
UCB.
Imagine him doing the edit and like very slowly running around the stage.
But it says here you're pregnant. His initiations are so on point. He crushed a Harold Knight back in the day. He was so good. Here's what I want to talk about Norman Mailer. Because someone pointed this out to me on Twitter, and this is something I did not know. For a show that's often very casually feminist, casually progressive, not making a thing of it, but just kind of setting the Bechdel test on fire every now and again. Norman Mailer does not like women. There is a history of domestic violence in a lot of his books. And that's one thing, that's fiction, whatever. He literally stabbed his second wife twice.
Well, we all stab our second wives.
He literally stabbed his wife, Adele, with a penknife after a party in 1960. Cut her through the breast, only just missing the heart. Then he stabbed her in the back. As she lay there hemorrhaging, one man reached down to help her. He snapped, get
oh,
away
he
from her, let the bitch
home.
Die.
Oh, she died?
No, she did not.
He said, let that bitch die.
Yes. Norman Mailer.
Well,
the great American author.
Whiskey was stronger back then.
Indeed.
Adele.
Yeah.
That's not a sentence you hear a lot. What'd you do last night? I stabbed Adele.
Hey, rumor has it. Guys, this is... But it really... Because, I mean, he's dead now. R.I.P., I guess. Or B.I.H.
No, I'd say R.I.P.
Yeah?
he doesn't lose his R.I.P. privileges.
He doesn't? Okay, so
he's still an R.I.P.
Does anyone lose their R.I.P. privileges, or do we wish that? We do... We talked about this. We wish that for everyone.
I don't wish death on anybody, and I don't wish a... terrible
unpeaceful rest.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, well, you're gone, so we're fine.
we're safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be like day. Hitler, rest in peace. You wouldn't say it.
No, but I wouldn't be like Hitler, rotten hell. I'd just be like, look, I'm not talking about Hitler.
You just leave Hitler out of
you
it.
Plead the fifth on Hitler.
I'd be like, look, whatever happens to Hitler will happen. That's fate.
He is a crotchety and cranky old man.
Yeah.
In this
with
episode.
His high pants.
With his high pants. improvising all his lines. I want to read a short little interview excerpt from, because someone, you know, because he did the rounds, he did panel on Leno and Conan when this episode came out. He didn't do that, but he did one interview where he talked
about this show.
About the show. He says, well, I got to the show by a particular course of events. I happened to write a script in which a well-known author is visiting Lorelai's Inn and drinking nothing but iced tea and driving the cook crazy. I think they were using the name Norman Mailer, and someone said, let's try and get him. Of course I said no, but then they wanted my son Steven too, and that made all the difference.
Wow.
So all that's how they got him.
All dads are the same. Yeah.
In regard to the improv, he said, I told them I couldn't memorize any lines. It had to be improvisation. The hard part was having to repeat things over and over again.
Right. So I stopped stabbing my son and said, son, you have an acting job.
Oh, runs in the family. Good grief.
Poor Norman.
Poor R.I.P. You know what? I'll give it back to him. R.I.P.
He doesn't lose his R.I.P.
No. Pat or Jerry?
Little of both.
So this episode, this is a notable episode for a few reasons. This is the second appearance of Logan, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. This is Suki finding out she's pregnant through an unfortunate series of events. This is something, brother. Here's a criticism I will lobby against the show. The only way that Suki can find out that she's pregnant, because this is the second time on the show that she's found out, is only through her sucking at her job and losing her mind.
Yeah.
Wait, that's how she realizes she's pregnant?
She goes crazy in the kitchen, and then she's like, what's happened to me? Oh, I'm pregnant.
In like the first 3 weeks of the pregnancy. We're not talking like second trimester.
Here's the thing. Any realization that happens in the show is a weird thing that someone suddenly realizes they are in love or are having a baby.
A switch flips every time.
And it's really weird.
Well, there's no time. Yeah, there's all that dialogue you got to burn through. I'm surprised they let her do something in the kitchen first.
I'm sure they blame it on Norman Mailer, too. He's like, God, if he just speeds up a little, we'd have time.
He was slow.
Would this episode have been better if it was called Norm MacDonald, I'm Pregnant?
No.
Wasn't me.
First off, saying your face.
Don't give compliments.
Looks like a butt.
Yeah, but people give compliments. They want your loyalty. What are you talking about?
Oh, man. I mean, what part do we want to get into?
We can talk about Melissa McCarthy. I remember.
Do you want to talk about that?
I didn't know she was on it.
What about this show? Here's a good litmus test for those that don't.
She was so spry. She was so young. How old was she?
She's so sweet. Well, this is 2004. She's 40 now. No, she's more than 40.
I have no idea how old she is.
She might have been late 20s, early 30s.
Well, she looked great.
She looked great.
She had a vibrance. Her hair was nice.
Did you appreciate the energy she brought to the role that's missing in the role she does now?
What role? Mike and Molly?
Yeah.
Or you mean like the movie stuff?
The movie stuff.
I wish she was more like what she does in the movies. She was like, if you don't stop drinking iced tea, I'm going to drop kick your fucking face.
We get tastes of it here and there.
You do?
Yeah.
Every now and again. Yeah. She'll drop fun. An F-bomb on the WB.
I did think if a chef came out and was like, you know what goes great with iced tea? Lamb shanks. I'd be like, we're leaving.
Sure.
You would leave. Yeah.
It took
principle.
Them a lot to leave by the end of
Do
it.
Do they leave?
By the end of it, they leave only because they finally cancel lunch. So they have to leave.
They cancel lunch. They have to leave. They go to Luke's.
Television is ridiculous. It's not just this show, but one of the plots is they cancel lunch.
They do.
Well, they're at an underfunded inn. So they're like, well, if no one else is eating lunch, you know, let's just not.
Have
keep a full staff.
Service.
Yeah.
Well, is that what they do?
No. And I was like, how are you guys not finding a medium here? Have Suki in the kitchen ready to make anyone a drink and send the rest of the staff home. That's the whole
That's
answer.
Peanuts. He's working for tips. It's like $3 an hour.
I was like, why is there no medium between canceling lunch entirely and having a full 7-person wait staff to serve tea?
And the impetus was Norman Mailer drank iced tea, which is like a 300% markup. It's probably 2 cents for that pitcher.
Yeah. Sure.
The company's still profited $2.
Let's break down we often break down the economics on this show.
Do you?
We got to take an eye to it.
Maybe Norman Mailer drinks tea like William Taft would like take water for a bathtub or something. Like he's just fucking drowning.
Or
in
Kermit the Frog in that meme.
For a second I was like, what are you talking about?
I feel
about?
Like you're both disappointed in me.
No.
In meme?
Yeah, in meme.
You're both disappointed in meme?
Disappointed in meme. That's also true.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Let's talk about, let's just get into it. I'm going to play some clips and then we'll react to them.
Okay.
I could just play them from the speaker. That way we don't have to put our little H phones on. Okay. Let's play this line.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah.
You sound happy.
I am, kid.
Did you watch that part?
I did.
Okay.
I saw that part. That was a weird part for me, actually.
Why is that?
Because she got that she sounded happy from like one moment.
Oh, that she was making fun of Luke for injuring himself.
Yeah, and she kept calling it a bit.
Dude, that's
classic
just her
bit.
Being a child. Like she.
No, I don't understand. People don't call, that's a stand-up term. That's like an industry term.
No, I mean, it's just, she was like.
Civilians use it all the time, though.
Now, 2004, believe
bit
that.
Bit is a new media term?
Bit?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
I feel like Abbott and Costello had bits.
But they're in comedy.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. But I don't think, it's like calling songs tunes, like musician calls tunes and gigs.
Wait, is that a millennial
not
thing?
Shows.
Calling songs tunes?
If there's a woman, yeah, if there's a mom character and she says, he had a set list and he played so many great tunes, it was an awesome gig, I'm going to be like, huh? Bit? It seemed a little weird.
Right.
He's doing a great joke. But I feel like one of the writers won out with your argument with Abbott and Costello. Did you write for this show?
What? No.
No.
But she was happy because she likes watching pain.
This is a deeply Jewish show, though.
Is it?
Say. Yes. Well, because Palladino, the creator of the show, she came from, her parents were like Borscht Belt comedians. Uh-huh. At least her dad was, in addition to being an actor.
Oh, so maybe. Yeah, that'll explain
it. So I think it was deeply, so she probably did bits when she was like a five-year-old, or that's at least what her dad called it.
Right.
I would assume that kind of language was ingrained in her at a young age, and that's why it's coming out.
I'm surprised that neither of you, though, thought it was strange. I really am.
I think maybe because we're used to it on this show at this point.
She very much, like, I feel like she lives in the world of, like, watching things from the 70s and keeping up with references from the 50s, where everything she's ever talked about is before her time or at the beginning of, quote-unquote, her time. So it's just this thing of, like, yeah, you say bit. Yeah, you say, you know, you talk about books that were written in the 1800s, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of pop culture references
on the
show. She
loves to talk about the world.
She learns and grows.
What you know what, Pete? What else struck you about the show in the positive? What were some little nuggets we could take from the experience? Something you looked at and you were like, I like this. I enjoyed
well,
this.
Well, the jokes that I laughed at.
Work.
There were jokes that I legitimately laughed out loud with no irony at. And I'm not a person that hates things.
Sure.
I didn't like Studio 60 either. I don't want a show that's like, entertainment! You know, that's my only problem.
Right.
So if you can handle that, I also don't drink coffee. You know what I mean?
Me, like, me neither.
I don't like stimulants, and this show feels like coffee to me.
Sure.
I like scotch shows.
You're Mad Men.
But you know, 30 Rock is pretty fast paced, and I like that. This felt it was just. I think we can all agree it's trying pretty hard.
It's dancing as fast as it can.
Do you know the reference? What that reference is?
No.
Flashdance?
I believe there's a short story where there's this woman and she's watching children. I believe it's in the slavery days, and she's a slave and she's watching these three kids, and she can't go outside because there's a murderer outside and only she can see the murderer. So she's dancing and she has to leave once the kids go to bed. This is obviously fiction.
Sure.
So she's dancing, trying to keep them awake, because she knows when the kids go to sleep, she has to leave, and then she's going to get murdered. So she's dancing as fast as she can.
I never knew that.
Either my English teacher made that up, or that's real.
Did she end the story with, and that woman was me?
Hey, kids. That's like a good TED Talk, and that woman was me?
Not for I was dancing as fast as I can in
I could
the slave
see
days.
I could
you know when Neo gets the thing plugged into the back of his head?
Oh, yeah, sure.
When he gets jacked in.
I'm going to give you Kung Fu now. And he goes, and he goes, I know Kung Fu.
Yeah.
They upload the info. That's what I felt like the show was.
And you were just like.
That's a long hike to the woods.
50% like after 50% downloaded, you were like, I don't know if I want Kung Fu. I'm fine with just regular punches.
But you know what? We're kind of kung fu experts at this point. So
I would never call myself an expert.
In this analogy, my dear boy, we are...
Even then, I'm just a guy who's like experiencing kung fu, and I'm just like, this is great. Well, I still don't know very much
I've unfortunately it. Positioned myself as the kung fu expert in the room.
And I do not envy you for
And we have a responsibility.
That's right.
To talk about the moves, to talk about the kicks and the punches. The kicks and the punches.
I want to know how far this metaphor is going to go.
Kicks and punches would be dialogue, story, storytelling. This is also the return of Christopher in the story.
Yeah.
A character that unfortunately Pete did not get to.
He was the guy in the promo who they like have the cell phone ring and then he picks it up. The most misleading promo of all time.
Sure.
That promo makes it seem like, Christopher's back in town. He's going to threaten Lorelai's happy relationship. Everything's fine. At no point.
The promo makes it sound like he has a mental illness of some sort.
Yes.
It makes it seem like he is not well.
Isn't he opening a bottle of wine or something? It seems.
It's really his Gigi's just shitting everywhere, his kid.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I get. Mommy's gone. Daddy's got to take care of Gigi.
So many things happened in this episode that made me just go, why? Why would that happen?
Here's a line. Here, I wanted to talk about this line, actually.
Oh, wow. I hear strained spinach is the new pink.
I hear strained spinach is the new pink.
What does that even mean?
Whoa.
Oh, that's different. Strained, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here is...
Back in the day.
Go on.
Orange is the new black is a reference to like... Hey, whatever you're wearing a floral shirt, that's the new black.
Right.
So she's saying, I'm assuming in the scene, a baby is being served strained spinach.
Sure. Well, I think it's just, it was dripped on her. I mean, it seems like Gigi is living a refugee's life. I think so.
Even better, because then she's like, you spill ice cream on me, it's okay. Ice cream is the new pink.
Right. What I would say
is fashion forward to have babies crying and spinach on you.
I think so. But spinach is a new pink. That would be the show I would watch on Netflix. Not that garbage. Orange is the new black show.
Where do we get these standards of reality? You know what I mean? Like, if we want our prisoners to talk like prisoners, it wouldn't be like a TV show. But once you pass a certain line, you are watching Studio 60.
Yeah.
And the problem is, and I do like Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin didn't write this show, did he?
He did not. It was suspected that he did for a long time.
It's just kind of like a borrowing of his style, right?
You think it's a straight up borrow of his style?
Absolutely.
You don't see it. I see it more as, because we've talked about it a lot on this show, and we've talked about Sorkinisms, and we've talked about the different influences. I see it more that Amy and Aaron were both products of the same generation of influences. Howard Hawks movies, Hepburn Tracy, yada, yada. Like those, and they just kind of went on similar paths. But I don't see as much of a conversation. I think they're too up their own butts, truthfully.
Have influences.
You know what I mean?
I buy that. I immediately
rescind
my point.
To have peer influences.
But I will say, here's what I find in common between whoever wrote this show and Aaron Sorkin.
For the listener at home, I want to point out that Pete is using his mic stand, not as a mic stand, but as a cane
<I'm leaning laughs>
to punctuate his jokes.
Like a southern man in a white suit on his porch because I'm so hot. I'm using it to air out my arm.
It's beautiful.
But the idea of when I watch a show and you start getting the feeling that everybody is being written by the same person. Now, in reality, everybody is being written by the same person. But if you wrote a Seinfeld script, sometimes people think, like, who writes Kramer? Well, everybody writes Kramer. You know what I mean? The writer writes everybody. But this show, everybody sounds like they're coming from the same source. It's like they all have the same accent. It's like they all have the German accent. But it's the accent of the writer. And that can get old, whether it is Studio 60 or even, you know, I didn't have a problem with it, but I know people that had a problem with it in The Social Network, where, you know, it's the opening scene and everybody is completely equally armed.
Everyone sounds like a cool genius.
Everyone is a cool genius. Yeah. To speak this way, you'd have to take a break and Google everything and, you know, make sure you stick the joke perfectly. There's nobody, there's no character like a goofy mom that's just like doesn't know. Like, I'm so sorry, you guys are running intellectual laps around me right now. Yeah. I'm just making cookies. Like, should still be like, what am I, Betty Crocker over here? You can look at me like I'm Betty Crocker. Yes, I'm white.
I would say Kirk might be close to that. He was the man dressed up in the giant hot dog in the Apocrypha. We're not going to a clip.
I didn't say that.
I did not clip that out.
Let's go to a clip.
Roll the tape, Jimmy. I would say that he would be a little bit more out of the loop in that sense. I understand what you're saying. But what's the difference in when it works and when it doesn't?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And when do we surrender to it? You see, like, you like Orange is the New Black and you don't because you're like, everyone's talking like a comedy writer.
I gotta be honest, I haven't seen it. I've seen enough of it.
I also don't like Orange is the New Black, but for a different reason. See, this is actually a pretty
interesting.
Is it because
you hate women, Pete?
I don't like women.
We've established that. Pete Holmes isn't a friend of women.
I'm a big misogynist. The idea, the question of preferences and what makes people like things and not like other things. Listen to, so I don't like this show because it's too intense. What
Gilmore
a ridiculous
Girls or Gilmore Guys?
Gilmore Girls.
Not Gilmore
No,
Guys.
Gilmore Guys is exactly my pace. I love it. Thank you for having me.
We actually
Gilmore Girls.
Up in post, so.
Some people probably listen to it at 1.5. Fans of Gilmore Girls, people listen to this on 1.5.
Hell yeah, bro.
For sure, to keep up with their lifestyle. They drink a Red Bull. They're doing like space jumps and shit.
What's a space jump?
A Red Bull
like
space
the
jump.
The Felix whatever Baumgartner thing.
I thought it was
Why
just
don't
like
we
a,
all know his name?
I thought it was an insane exercise.
No.
Oh, no. It's the most insane exercise. That guy was born April 20th, 1969. 420-69. I swear to God.
Very fun.
There could only have been one of him.
Exactly. Of course he jumps from space.
To your point.
Because he's awesome. My point, okay, so all I'm trying to say now is clearly Gilmore Girls is a good show for millions of people, all right? And then here comes somebody like me, and I'm like, I don't like it because it's too intense. It's the Matrix upload, whatever. That's not a legitimate reason. But listen to my reason why I don't like Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
And know even more how inconsequential and unfounded people's preferences are. I don't like Orange is the New Black because I don't like shows about prison. I don't like remembering that prison is a thing, that people are served meals surrounded by people they're afraid of, that they're put in little cages, and if they're bad, they go to the hole. I don't want to see stories unfold there.
It's
I don't
too
want to
real.
See someone make a shiv. I don't want someone explaining that you got to wrap your hand in toilet paper before you beat that woman because she disrespected you. I'm not interested. I hate it. I think prison is like such a sad, fucked up reality that I don't want to visit it in my recreation time. I don't watch a lot of shows. That's why I stopped watching Gilmore Girls because I was like, I got to watch Mr. Robot. I'm addicted to Mr. Robot.
I love Mr. Robot.
Really
Where you
great.
At? Where you at in it?
Episode 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I won't spoil the stuff, but it's very
good. Does it
good.
Get good?
The rest of it actually takes place in a prison.
In a prison in Stars Hollow.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is if
With
it
some
were,
nervous
this is my own horseshit, if it were men in a prison, I might be a little bit more likely to like it because I get the feeling that men love prison.
Like us, everyone's just like, hey,
that
good to see you again.
Love prison?
No. That's the joke version of what I'm saying. But like, I think that like sitting around, being tough, playing cards, making knives, getting in fights seems like something. It's all like guy stuff. So when I see a bunch of women also behaving in that manner, I'm like, great, there is no fairer sex. We're all fucked. Like, we're all just killing each
other.
Oh,
it seems more hopeless to you.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm really trying to get into why. That's just a theory.
Honestly, the prison as depicted in Orange is the New Black kills more than anything on Oz. Because in Oz, it's just violent and whatnot. But Orange is the New Black, it's like this weird emotional torture of them. Like, every time you see a backstory, it's like, you know, they were doing it in self-defense. Or, oh, the streets are hard out there. And you're like, well, then, oh, wait, get out of prison. But it's also like, they're never getting out. And I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah. Oz was really, really hard.
Yeah.
If you're starting to watch Oz, something's going wrong in your life. Like you, because you want to watch the manifestation of your pain and be like, we're all trapped, man. We're all trapped.
Why would you, if you had to theorize, why would you say people watch Gilmore Girls? From the 22 minutes you saw of this episode.
I think because they're probably craving that type of comedic stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But like I told you, I was working all day, so I was working on jokes all day. I was writing all day in my own stupid fucking personal Starbucks, making my own fucking stupid espresso. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm trying to like write jokes, think of my own references, all this horse shit. So when I waited tables,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't watch Hell's Kitchen. You know what I mean? Because it was just so much like being at work.
Sure.
So watching this and making me go like, joke detected, it's not recreation for me.
You saw the construction. It's not, like you saw the ones and zeros in The Matrix.
I don't even necessarily think it's any different from a regular person. I mean, a non-comedian mm-hmm. watching the show. I shouldn't have said regular person, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah, civilian. A normal.
I think it's just fun to, I think it can be either entertaining to go, joke, or it can be like, this is exhausting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And what's great is there's so many flavors to choose from now. It's not just five channels anymore.
I know. You can, like going back to Mad Men, a joke every 20 minutes.
That's more your style. A joke every 20 minutes.
If my girlfriend were on the mic, she would make fun of like this sort of, I'm 36 years old. This show is clearly not for me. You know what I mean? It's not for me.
You're saying Gilmore or Mad?
Gilmore.
Okay.
Yeah. Or what was the other option?
I'd shorten Mad Men to Mad.
No, Mad Men is a 36-year-old male show.
It is.
Absolutely.
Is it a 25-year-old male show?
No, it's Mad Men's like, get out of here. You don't know these times.
I have started it twice and I've not been able to. I feel broken in my masculinity for not being able to proceed.
I watched four seasons all at once, and I was like, this is good, but I can
also
stop.
All at once, like on different TVs?
Yes.
like Elvis.
Like A Clockwork Orange.
Elvis actually had Netflix. That's a big conspiracy. Like, it was.
Wait, that he had Netflix?
He had Netflix.
He invented Netflix and chill.
Is that why they killed him on the toilet?
That's right. Yeah. That was an assassination. I want to talk about shows that only you guys don't like. What's a show that only you don't like?
Only I don't like? I mean,
or a movie.
Suburgatory or How I Met Your Mother.
Suburgatory?
I could talk for hours about why I stopped watching Suburgatory, but people will hate me for it.
What is Suburgatory?
Oh, it's an ABC. Oh, here we go. Suburgatory is an ABC show starring Jane Levy and Alan Tudyk about a family that moves.
Was it Anna Gasteyer on that as well?
Yes, she was. Yeah. And it's so seamless how you slip into SNL voice and write out. It's scary.
Oh.
But anyway, it's about a family.
RIP Don. I give him an RIP.
He's got RIP privileges.
He's got RIP.
I'm an RIP. You gotta let me in. Let me through the gates. Zombie at the red carpet of the pearly gates. There's a red carpet that leads to heaven. I'm on the RIP list.
There's a red carpet that leads to the entrance. So there's like three different barriers to just getting into the buffet.
Guy. Jesus.
Listeners, that's a free Funny or Die sketch premise. Yeah, it's on this podcast now. Someone go film it.
What, the multiple gates to heaven?
No, the RIP. P list? That's great.
The RIP list. Well, you shouldn't say that. You should be like, that's ours.
Or I'll just cut it out.
Let's not release this episode. No, I'm kidding.
So you hate Suburgatory.
How did we get here?
I don't know. Letting the days go by. No, I was literally, sorry. Okay, Suburgatory is a show about a family, like, I think it's a single parent, that moves with his daughter from, like, urban New York into the suburbs of New York, and she hates it because it's not her style. It was a fine show, and then it got very product placement-y, and they didn't care about telling the story anymore, so I stopped
Microsoft
watching.
Microsoft tablets.
Really? It's like, I, as much as I would love to talk about Suburgatory, I feel the like heat of people listening to this and being like,
that's not
fucking
the heat you're feeling.
No, it's two different sorts of heat.
Are you guys hot too?
Yes, but it's like a weird sweat where it's like, if I just keep talking, I'll make it through.
Can I be truthful? Can I be truthful, though? Yeah. I feel like some of the best podcast episodes in the world were recorded under extremely hot conditions. That's almost not a joke.
How was San Francisco outside lands for you?
That was hot.
There you go.
It was a hot day. It was a hot day. You know, everyone was hungover, too.
Really?
That's the weirdest, most awkward episode of my podcast ever.
Really?
And the night before it was...
More so than...
Who?
Than... John Glazer.
That's who
that's
it is.
The one.
That's the one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. I thought there was a second
Demi
one.
Demi knows where it was.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, John Glazer and I had a weird moment on the air. But I was hungover. Metallica played the night before, and I was real out of it. But that's not my excuse. Normally, I'm great hungover.
No
filter.
I don't.
No, yeah.
Hashtag no filter.
Hashtag
hash brown no filter.
Hangover no filter.
Hash brown no filter. Hangover no filter.
Hash brown hashtags.
Oh man, did anything happen in this episode?
Nope.
It was written by James Berg and Stan Zimmerman. What That's something.
Oh, I don't. Oh, I was like, why do I know that name?
Because of his Bob son Dylan.
George. Stan Zimmerman. George Zimmerman. Oh,
there is in the first scene of the first act, there's a boom goes the dynamite. Did
is
you
there?
See it? Yeah.
No,
I
didn't.
In the top left.
I was too
what
focused.
What does that mean?
It's boom, when the boom mic comes in the shot.
Boom goes the dynamite is the segment where we point out the boom mics in the shots.
I did 90210, The Blaze. You know The Blaze podcast?
Yeah. You did The Blaze.
And there were so many booms.
Really?
In the shot.
Is that a function of the widescreen or was it?
You know, I think it's the time, although my theory goes out the window. You know, in 90210, which is still in, it's not widescreen.
It's Letterboxd.
It's a what's that?
Full frame.
Never mind.
But you see it a lot. I think it's a digital zoom problem. Like nowadays, you can go in and push in a little bit more. I don't know if that was as easy to do.
Or maybe they're using editing bays where they didn't have the safe areas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because TVs used to crop.
Oh.
And so you didn't see the true edge of the film celluloid in a way where if
Why
there was
I
just
talking?
A little
this
bit of
guy
tip.
Knows what's going on.
Not really.
This wasn't a little tip. This would have gotten you pregnant. This was a full Chewbacca dick.
Pregnant boom mic.
Chewbacca's dick hanging down into the frame.
Oh, man. Did you think in that newsroom scene, by the way, that Senora Thomas looked like Louise?
Who is Senora Thomas?
Senora Thomas is the girl that walks by that Paris thinks wants the religion beat.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice her at all. Looks like who?
Louise.
Oh, no. I didn't
of Madeline and Louise Fang?
Right. Didn't she have brown hair?
Which one?
The woman
no,
walking
no, no,
by.
No. She was blondie.
Oh.
She was a little blondie bear.
Well, there you go. There's my how much I paid attention to the background characters.
Also, I want to point out in this episode, the shutter speed seems back to normal.
That's what I was going
to
say. Every episode of the season has been this weird, like, Zack Snyder shot thing where it's, like, real, like,
crisp.
Yeah, just they keep panning and it looks like Dawn of the Dead and I hate it.
It looks like an intense action movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but they fixed it and everything's back to normal.
It almost looks like you're watching it on a CD-ROM.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, bro.
I'm here for analogies.
Or like a 2000s. Yeah, we'll state the truth.
Yeah.
And then we'll throw it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you come up with a word picture that helps people understand it.
A
better.
Word picture.
Yeah.
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 You'll be like a waiter that brings me the truth.
Such as that. Such as that. Oh, man. So I feel like Norman Mailer in general, I like the plot device. I like Norman Mailer and pregnant as a line. I feel like listening to him talk, though, and seeing that that is the literal truth, although it does make the whole step, step, step thing makes the line where Lorelai says to Suki, I know he's old, but I think he could take you, a lot more interesting.
Is there a letter opener nearby? Jesus.
I don't think Paladino had that in mind.
No. Of course they don't. They probably didn't know. This is pre-wiki.
Even if they knew about his reputation as a womanizer or whatever, I don't think that they were even like, well, we can't have him in this show about women. I mean, they were probably just like, yeah, whatever, that's his past. I honestly don't think that they would think anything of that.
They probably knew, but we wouldn't know. They knew that we wouldn't know.
Do you think they knew that we wouldn't know?
I feel like
that people wouldn't care. They make gay jokes all the time on this show. They're not known for like radical progressivism or something.
And Mailer's a homophobe too, if you look into it enough.
All old people
you
are
had
homophobes.
Me an old guy from the 60s.
I know
60s.
It's not true.
Any old guy that was like big in the 60s that isn't a homophobe is gay. That's how it goes.
Oh, man. What a stunning truth.
You're either like, fuck those guys, or fuck those guys. Get it?
Thank you for the word picture that helps us understand it better,
or
Pete.
Or you're like, fuck them.
Right, like sexually.
Oh, man, I really wanted to focus on...
the family.
Yeah. Dr. Dobson, we love you. Come on the show.
Oh, no.
Who Dr. Dobson?
He's Dr. Dobson's the founder.
Focus on the family. Focus on the... founder.
Focus on the founder. Adventures in Odyssey. Stars Hollow out to that. That's a radio series they did.
I you know a lot about Focus on the Family.
I mean,
is Focus on the Family?
It's a Christian thing.
That's
it's like
a
organization.
That's
I call it a coalition.
Wait, was that phrase in your head apropos of no origin?
No, it's because I knew it from church. When I was saying it, I was like, I thought it was a Mormon thing. They love the family.
It's the Protestants, man.
Yeah.
Old proddies. But no, I wanted to focus on that line where they talk about Billy Joel going to the Independence Inn.
Why is he in this town?
Why is Norman Mailer in the town? Is also
I definitely
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel goes to Stars Hollow.
And why are they? I felt like it was a fat joke. I feel like it was like he's a fat.
Like
ass.
Oh yeah, he can pack it away.
He packs it away. He eats two appetizers, entrees, three desserts.
I wish it was a driving joke more.
The piano man. Yeah, I know. They should have been like he drank cognac. The bill was
$800. And then drove into the kitchen and asked for some more. That would have been better.
I believe Norman Mailer coming into town just because I believe an old writer being a recluse and being like, I want to go to a small town.
Sure.
What town are they in?
Stars Hollow.
It's a town in Connecticut, just like a small town outside of Hartford, or like 30 minutes
from Yale. A fictional
made-up
town.
They shot it here.
Yes.
Yes. It's Warner Brothers lot.
You see the Burbank
really?
Hills
yeah.
all the time.
You can see the Pete Holmes stage.
You truly can.
Can you really?
You've probably walked through Stars Hollow many a day.
Wait, they shoot it like in between the stages?
No, I mean the big lot with like the churches and the buildings and that's it. That's Stars Hollow.
That's where the Batman building is.
Oh, really?
The Batman building from the 60s show.
Oh, well that's I don't know.
Not as fun.
Huh. Okay. The cave for that is up in Bronson Caves. Don't know why I thought I'd share that. But I don't believe Billy Joel being there is what I was trying to
I don't mind you, Billy Joel.
Maybe he was doing a show in the gazebo. Maybe
he plays a lot of gazebos.
How can we
doing for a all 1,000 people?
Well, before the Madison Square Garden deal, that was his deal. Where it was like, you know how he does a show once a month now at the Garden.
Yeah. I always found the line, the microphone smells like a beer. You know that line in Piano Man? It's gross.
Sure.
It's gross.
Well, if you were to rewrite it, what would you write the line as?
The microphone's clear and it's near.
And it smells great.
This is clearly a new microphone.
Thank you, sure, SM50.
I also used to think that song was sung by a husky woman.
Is that true?
Yeah, it sounds... I mean, back and listen to Piano Man. It could be a woman...
I couldn't tell you.
With kind of like...
five words of Piano Man.
Play me the song You're the Piano Man.
Oh, I didn't even know You're the
You didn't know that song. Sing us
play
a song.
Play me a song. Oh, Piano Man.
Oh, Piano Man.
You know the next line.
I swear I do not. I just learned Uptown Girl because I saw a train wreck.
Okay, finish the sentence. Play me a song.
Oh, Piano Man? I don't know. What
tonight.
Game is this?
Because we're all in the mood for
a Piano Man.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Piano Man.
Okay.
You don't know.
And you've got us feeling...
All right.
Yeah!
It had to be. You said tonight.
La da 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 da
da.
La da da
da. Not even in the right note. Do.
Da da.
Okay.
That's not bad. The microphone smells like a...
Near. I'm going by
my version.
Yeah.
That's canon now.
That's Nick Cannon now.
I was going to say that's Nick Cannon.
Oh,
is
you're
that
fun.
True?
He's a fun one.
You were going to say that's Nick Cannon?
I like you.
And when you said the Adele reference, I was going to say that's Nick Cannon.
Oh.
Every part of Nick Cannon is considered Nick Cannon.
Toes, Nick Cannon. Head, Nick Cannon. Hair... Close, but yeah, it's Nick Cannon.
When he shaves it off, it's all, it's no longer canon.
It's no, it's true.
Wait, didn't he divorce, was he with Jessica Simpson?
Mariah Carey.
No longer
And then
canon.
He goes, you're no longer canon. You're apocrypha. Mariah Carey is now apocrypha.
Second apocrypha.
I banished you to fan fiction.
Here's what'll bake your noodle, quoting the Matrix.
Will I
have said apocrypha if you hadn't earlier?
Interesting. That was cool. I enjoyed that.
I want to. Well, let's hit one more Gilmore thing so people don't complain that
you guys are slowly. You guys
merging?
Slowly merging, and I feel like now you're going to say everything that he was going to say, like a reverse.
I really like the show. It's very entertaining. It holds up.
Kevin, how do you feel about the show?
I think it's really entertaining. It holds up. Did you like Graham Cracker, the Lauren Grahams?
Who?
The Instagram. What? Lauren Graham, Lorelai Gilmore.
He asked for clarification. Like, let me throw another metaphor in the mix. Lauren Graham.
Lindsey Graham.
Who dat?
She plays...
The main character, Lorelai. Lauren
She's
Graham.
She's the younger daughter.
Yeah, Mrs. Bad older. Santa.
Well, no. She's the mom.
Oh, right.
Wait.
Alexa Bledel's the younger one. The older one is Lorelai.
Prostitute in Sin City.
Yeah.
You were doing a bit.
Bad Santa. Yeah, you were doing a bit.
The Horn Bad Santa. I wasn't doing a bit.
No. The we're doing a bit. She was
doing
a bit.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a bit.
Yeah.
That was the most confusing 30 seconds of podcasting ever recorded. That was amazing.
That was who's on first, what's on second.
Only fucking... play that on loop for people you want to stay in comas. Like, it's really working out that he's in a coma. Let's only play that
and
part.
And now Demi will list in alphabetical order all the people he wants to stay in a coma.
I actually thought she was fun. I thought everybody was good. There was no bad acting. There was no bad writing. It was just the frequency that I had a problem with.
The frequency.
Maybe if I was, like, groggy and needed to, like, perk up for a job interview and wanted to flood my brain with words and thoughts. Like, that scene in the press room where they're like... He goes like, I want to pitch you some stories if I could. And he goes, yeah, I got 2 minutes. And then she just pitches him stories. I'm like, it's just like each one I'm thinking about what it's going to be.
Yeah,
what does it mean?
I was the same thing. I was the same way.
And I'm just, it's just a lot. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, I'm wrong.
Did you get two?
It's not for me.
There's no right. There's no wrong.
No, I agree with that. But I just think it's not stupid to like this show. I don't want to be the guest that's like, what a bunch of idiots. I clearly am looking for... My favorite band is The National. You know what
They're
mean?
They're great.
And that's a very mellow sort of like,
Pete pointed to a poster right behind him with The National
on it
to illustrate
that's
the truth.
That's right. My other favorite band is...
Brian Regan Live. His first two albums, great. Second album, third album. Oh, Studio 60. I have in my notes, why don't they Studio 60 this thing? Oh.
Cancel it?
No.
It did. It's not still on, is it?
That was a rude awakening,
it's
though.
It's been on for 10 years.
Studio 60? No. If Studio 60 was still on, it would be going into its 9th season right now.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
Premiered in 2000. Weird to watch stuff. It premiered in 2006.
See, that's another show that I couldn't get into.
I truthfully wanted to.
I was a fan of both that and 30 Rock, and I was bummed to see one go away, but of course one had to go away.
I truthfully, though, like, I think Studio 60 was a tragedy at its heart.
Right.
But, you know, like, I remember that was my Santa Claus Isn't Real moment as a kid, because Sports Night was the first TV show I loved. I was in love with The West Wing after that, and then I watched Studio 60. I remember Facebooking about it a bunch and MySpacing about it a bunch when that was a thing.
Friendstering.
Texting my friends like, hey guys, Studio 60 is going to be on tonight. I created a Facebook group that people still join
Kevin,
to this
your
day.
Friends hated you.
Yeah, no, I was homeschooled. There was problems. There
people
was
on Studio 60 would have hated you. They'd be like, what do you got, a Facebook page? What do you got to like? You got to share it on MySpace? This is the real world.
Are you suggesting that Aaron Sorkin has some sort of disdain towards technology or those who use it?
I was thinking of Chandler. Oh. Chandler just wouldn't have liked you. And he's
That's
Chandler.
True.
Sorkin is Chandler in that show. He is. That is his avatar through and through. Wait, you know all the nonsense about the true to life, write what you know stuff on that show, right?
Oh, no.
Harriet, how much did you watch of it?
Not that much.
Not that much? Harriet Hayes, played by Sarah Paulson, is a Christian actress and singer. Aaron Sorkin dated Kristen Chenoweth, a Christian actress and singer. Kristen Chenoweth goes on 700 Club. Harriet Hayes goes on 700 Club in Studio 60. And this is post them breaking up. So this isn't him going home and saying, hey, honey, I'm thinking about putting this in the show. This is post breakup. Chenoweth poses for FHM or Maxim or one of those magazines. Harriet Hayes does it, but still has to be a Christian at the same time. It is, I would say it's up there with Apatow casting Paul Rudd as himself and his family as his family.
Yeah.
In This Is 40. It is to that level.
Really?
I would say so. Studio 6, yeah.
Like just pulling from the headlines of life.
I think so. Or the headlines of one life.
I'm surprised there wasn't like a scene in Studio 60 where he's like, oh, my nose is bleeding, but it wasn't cocaine. It was lines in the mirror, which was a thing that happened with him. That's all I know about Aaron Sorkin news.
My favorite is that it was at Burbank Airport, 2001, pre-9/11, though. I think it was in the summer.
We just say pre-9. Everyone knows.
I'm sorry. Pre-9, pre-niner.
Right.
And
don't say niner. It sounds like you're done.
True. Okay. PN.
PN.
PN. Mm-hmm.
UPN.
UPN. We
That's
know
what
drama.
That network was.
Yeah.
After 9/11, it's not there anymore.
It's true. No, it was. It was there. It was there.
Well, for a while, it was you post 9.
He fainted when they found the mushrooms and cocaine in his bag. He fainted. Sorkin.
He fainted.
Yeah.
He had mushrooms and
Burbank.
Coke in his bag.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Isn't that
fun?
I've
never heard of that mix.
It's bold. He was like, no one goes to Burbank Airport. Who's going to church me?
Church me?
Church me.
Church.
Words are hard.
Words are hard.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So did you like Gilmore Girls?
Oh, man, what should we... I mean, we could talk about...
Paris. Religion beat.
Me? Really? Huh. I hadn't
and
thought.
The microphone smells right. Like a beer. What was that?
Oh. Let's play that beautiful bean footage again.
Paris. Religion beat.
Me? Really? Huh. I hadn't thought. All right.
After obsessing over it for the first act.
Yeah, I rolled my eyes.
What?
Excuse me? You did not get to hear a clip from the Wiz Khalifa Charlie Puth song he just played. It was really weird. No,
is that a Charlie Puth song? What's his name?
It's like,
he knows that, but not Piano Man. We'll be right back.
Idiot.
You can't throw to commercial, bro.
He can. He can do anything he wants.
Most of the set from my talk show is in here. I can throw to commercial.
I was going to say, wash my damn towel.
We'll roll. Yeah, it's all around.
How long do you think you'll keep all this stuff from the talk show?
I don't know. I mean, we're here in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not really in the way.
Pow!
I think it's pretty fun. What's that?
Mark Maron.
Oh, my God.
Homer lives.
Oh, my God.
You guys doing
so
all right?
Funny. What do you mean?
Have you guys seen each other lately?
Me and Mark?
I feel like such a voyeur into so many people's relationships. I feel like I remember the first time he was on your show and you and his and
I
the kind of
him.
Angry dad relationship.
I know. I've evolved a little bit in a sense that I don't enjoy that dynamic as much. Not with Mark in particular.
Sure, but just in general.
But just in general, the idea of just having people that kind of only run hot water on me. In their defense, that's all I ever wanted them to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So certainly with Mark, I think if I had him on the show now, it would feel different. But I don't know. He used to fuck with me on Twitter and stuff, little things. That was his way of saying, like, hello, son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he stopped doing that. And I think about him a lot. This is weird. I think about him a lot. And I, of course, wish him well. I've never wished
him
anything.
Do you want to send a message to him?
Yeah, Mark, if you hear this, I don't think you would like the show Gilmore Girls.
Oh, no, he loves Gilmore Girls.
Does he?
No.
No,
maybe.
I think you would love it, and you should do this podcast.
Mark Maron on Gilmore Guys?
Yo, fingers crossed. He would hate us and he would hate the show.
I don't think he'd hate you guys.
In fact, when
he did my podcast, quote, he said, no one ever asked me to do other podcasts. Because I said, why are you doing this? And he was like, no one ever asked me to do other podcasts.
Well, how many years ago was that?
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah. 3 years ago.
Now he probably gets inundated with it.
WTF was big back then.
It was. No, it was a juggernaut.
Also, post Obama interview, you can turn down anything.
You know, sometimes I worry that he hates my show, because when he did Obama, I remember thinking, like, now, I mean, it's never been a competition to me, but if it were for him, be like, you won. You won
of course
long ago. you're number one, and I hope he doesn't think that I'm still like this nuisance kind of Pepsi-ing his Coke.
And it's 3 years later. It's a different landscape.
And now it's so much more of a its own thing. Like, I found my own kind of topics. I think I did pretty quickly, but like, it's now very quick.
I don't think anyone considers you Burger King anymore.
Yeah, where at the beginning it was, considered myself. I was like,
that's how you branded yourself.
I am Burger Kinging Mark Maron's McDonald's. And now, you know, we talk so much about the afterlife and stuff that Mark doesn't really have too much natural interest in.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't give a shit about that. It'd be funny if you had, like, the last president on your show.
I know, that would be great.
You could talk about, here's who we would love to see on your show. We talked about this.
Did
in
you
the
say
car.
The last president?
Yeah. The last president from Obama, so Bush, W. Bush.
For some reason, in
not
my
the
head,
last president ever.
That's what I was like.
I thought
what?
That too. I was like, that would be a
really?
Good guess.
Yeah. I was like, that's just a weird.
So the black guy from Deep Impact, because the world ends. Right.
That's one of the best Galifianakis jokes.
I wasn't
ever.
Finished with Deep Impact.
I don't think it does end.
No, if you had Bush on talking about God, that would be.
Yeah,
be
but
dynamite.
We were talking about this off mic. People say, "Who are your dream guests?" And I'm like, the problem is, like, let's say it is Ryan Gosling. Those guys are brands. They're like, they're part, their mystique is right. Part of it. Like, they don't want to talk about their love lives. They don't want to talk about religion. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a podcast that's great to get. Like, when John Hamm, I'm looking at his picture on the ground. When John Hamm did it, it was great because he's kind of like, I'm John Hamm, baby. Like, I'm going to do this my way.
Yeah.
But if you get like a Mark Wahlberg.
John Hamm, by the way.
Yeah.
On Gilmore Girls.
Was he?
Yeah.
Season 3. Peyton
you watch
Sanders,
that episode.
Baby.
It's very slow paced.
He played adult, a very boring man who goes on a boring ass date with Lorelai, and they never see each other again.
I like that a lot.
Is that fun?
That sounds
for
like
one
the
most
kind of
the most charismatic.
I know. I forget what I was going to say.
Dream guests, brands.
Oh, if you have Mark, here's the problem. You get someone like Mark Wahlberg on. You think they're just being selfish because they're protecting themselves, but really, these people are corporations. Like, that's something like
they're
when
protecting
I
their families.
They're
in
protecting
a way.
Their families. They're also protecting their writers, mm-hmm. their staffs, their directors that they like working with. Like, if they, let's say Mark Wahlberg were a Satanist, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like, he just loves it. And it's not about evil for him, it's just about the Dark Lord. And like, yeah. he finds that the Dark Lord answers more prayers, has more character, all this sort of stuff.
Sure.
He's just like, I'm into it. I have a lot of crows I can sacrifice. It works out. He couldn't say that because then, you know, he wouldn't be able to do his like hamburger reality show. And then his brother doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
That's like one of the things like with Conan, I remember him walking around the lot and just kind of saying something along the lines of like, you know, when I don't feel like working or something, I just remember, look at how many people are employed because of this. And that's really when you kind of, you know.
That's why I think like that level isn't the sweet spot. The sweet spot is like right...
Brian Regan,
yeah, because yeah. mm-hmm. you're doing what you like. You're not you can still speak truth.
Yep,
there's freedom.
Dan Castanella, voice of Homer, for example.
Oh, he could take a shit on a orphan in a park, and there wouldn't be a story about it.
Because you take the photo, and you're like, I don't know who that man is.
Yeah, nobody. The reason he could do that, if he said, I'm Homer Simpson, you know, in the voice, then we'd have a problem. But
by the way, flawless.
Otherwise, it's
Homer
just like a bald guy shitting in the park. Another bald guy shitting in the park.
Here we go again. Guys, it's a stereotype for a reason, I would say. Not to throw shade at all our bald listeners. How many bald listeners do you think we have?
Exactly 4.
4.5,
we've
maybe.
Got the Spreaker statistics.
Do babies count?
No, God, no.
Big stars holla out to Spreaker for free hosting, baby. We're supposed to say that sporadically.
Occasionally?
I think so. Yeah, wasn't that the MO?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
I ate small disc multicolored candies sporadically.
This is already my favorite hour I've ever sat and done anything.
Is that true?
No.
This is your...
I mean, it's not true, but I don't know what my favorite hour of any... Like, how do I... That's a non-committal thing.
Sure.
I could not say, this is my favorite hour of time I've ever spent doing anything.
And I would say my favorite period of time would be more than an hour. I would say my favorite 3 hours of something. You know what I mean? Like if it's a conversation,
right?
Or
like
an experience
when you watch
someone.
Interstellar.
Yeah, not so much that.
I liked it.
Do we love it? I like it, but
I did.
I like it, but people's love of it made me just like it. You know what I'm saying?
I liked it, and then I felt bad because friends I watched it with were crying, and I didn't feel enough to cry at it, and they were like, "It's fucking sad. Don't look at me." And I was just like, "I'm looking at you because I feel weird for not feeling this."
Yeah, I didn't think it was a tearjerker, and I cry easy at movies.
Inside Out, what were you liking that? Gone.
Shameless.
Gone Girl. William H. Macy girl. Over here.
I was Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Ben Affleck William H. was Macy. Looking for me.
Shameless. Oh, Showtime.
Okay. I was like, you went too fast to Gone Girl. And I was like, ooh.
Have you used, you listen to the podcast, those are Sweet Learys. Anybody?
Dennis Learys?
Talk it out.
Sweet Learys.
That's a sweet, you're making a lot of sweet Learys. Sweet. It's a sweet Leary. Dennis Leary.
Dennis Leary.
What are
Rescue
some,
Me.
Okay.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll. Assholes.
Two.
I'm an asshole.
Yeah, these are all good. Keep going.
Oh, Sabretoothed Tiger and Ice Age.
Very good. You guys know a lot about Leary.
Fudge. I met Dennis Leary under the weirdest circumstances ever.
Have you talked about it on the air?
Yeah, we did in 505, I think.
Okay.
A cast member from this show introduced me to him in Austin, Texas, green room. And he just is his character from Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, I think. He is just, he's the Daniel Day-Lewis of our time. And it's a deep research project into that. Sweet Learys. I don't know.
Well, one of his movies is from the 90s, so maybe you're too young.
Joe versus the Volcano.
Nuts.
It's called Joe versus the Volcano. So I was saying Nice Volcanoes.
Nice Volcanoes. I should have seen it.
One of his movies is called The Ref. So any reference I say.
Fuck!
Sweet Leary.
Sweet Leary.
Sweet Leary, bro.
And that's what this TV show is about. There's a lot of Sweet Learys.
There are
a lot of
Learys on this show.
Lots. But you don't take... Do you think that references in general add to or destroy a viewing experience? Like, for example, Mr. Robot, that's a show you're enjoying right now. Yep. Not Dennis Leary is nowhere to be found on that show.
No Learys.
There's some...
Although that show is built on a Leary, which is the technology of this time.
Sure.
Linux.
Although...
But that's more of a time period.
It does have stylistic references.
Yeah, it could be a period piece in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a lot of stylistic references in that, like, certain things and, like, plot points just beat you over the head with, like, this is... Remember this movie and what... Like, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's a lot of it getting later in the season is just, like, this movie and this movie. And, like, they are doing it on purpose.
And this news story and this news story.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. In the pilot, in fact, that's the moment that I was like, I'm going to watch this show. Even though the second episode I didn't like. They let the guy that wrote the first one direct the second one. Mm-hmm. But the guy, I'm pretty sure the guy from...
Mr. Emmy Rossum.
True Detective directed the pilot.
Cary Fukunaga?
That's what somebody told me. That's not true.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Sorry for saying Fukubuku. That was
Fukubuku.
I don't even know what that
You know, it's
means.
Iffy. It's because
it's iffy.
Like you take an Asian name and you start being sing-songy. You're in the ballpark.
I'm trying to be sing-songy.
Like,
I'm not trying to be specific to
no,
that.
No, I believe it.
Yeah.
I think what you were doing was loving and inclusive.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know your heart.
It's. Do you see it? Do you
I
feel
do.
Like you get a good sense of my heart?
Yeah. Well. Kind of
transparency
speeding very quickly so Pete doesn't like it.
Oh, that's true. I'm trying to cut down here. Here's one thing I truly did with a friend of mine. We said for the rest of the night, no references. You can't quote a podcast, you can't quote a movie you just saw, you can't talk about unless it's something we're currently experiencing. Like we just went to a movie, oh, that movie was good. But if it's something outside of what's happening right now, talking in the car or talking at home, whatever, you cannot reference
only
it.
Original content.
Only original content.
Only new material.
And if you do that, it is truly, I mean, for me...
It's hard.
It's really difficult. Yeah. I wonder if we could even get through an episode of this podcast.
100% no.
I think not.
We'd have to be talking about Gilmore Girls.
Right, but,
but it would be okay.
I don't think we could just in the even in the nature of the show. What's that?
The interstitials of us just talking, like so much of it is just like reflexively, like and then like a joke there.
Well, this is like Mr. Robot. They've given us content to our brain.
It's almost like a disease.
By
like
the way,
a disease. I'm sorry.
I would love to hear. What have you finished, Mr. Robot?
Yeah,
I haven't finished it.
I know. I'll reach out to you later to find out though, because I do want to ask.
Big
what
things
you all,
are coming.
I think it's great up until the finale.
I'm going to say this. This is not... Okay. This is not a spoiler.
Sure.
I think it's right over the plate. You're supposed to kind of have a feeling. Don't give me anything even with your faces.
Okay.
Oh, and I mean...
You're supposed to get... You're supposed to get the feeling that maybe Christian Slater isn't real.
That's not even the thing that, like, feeling-wise, it's not about a feeling. It's just the plot of the last episode. I'm just kind of like...
No good.
Can I tell you what Matt...
But I just want to say, if he is a figment of his imagination, I'm going to be upset because you can't... The movie is already the plot of Fight Club. It's like, we're going to erase everybody's debt. That was Tyler Durden, the imaginary.
Oh, it is.
He's like, we're going to blow up these three buildings. They do it to erase the debt. So if you have a TV show where an imaginary character is like potentially imaginary, I hope it's a red herring because nobody's talking to him. Nobody sees him. If it turns out that he's fake, I'm going to be like, well, nobody at USA saw Fight Club. Nobody.
There's so many.
What, Matt, can I?
Go for it.
Can I talk over you? Matt Zoller Seitz, I just want to throw this out here. A great critic, did all the, it's doing all the Wes Anderson books, all the little, or all the big coffee table books with the beautiful illustrations.
Yeah.
And he's like an amazing TV critic. He's on the Vulture TV podcast. He calls Mr. Robot in the style of cinema de dude bro, which is cinema made for the sake of excellence and for the sake of good storytelling and very specific aesthetics, but is also supposed to be awesome, quote unquote. Do you understand what that means?
I do.
Yeah, like you get that sense from the show. The weird framing, the kind of, you know, Breaking Bad was like borderline cinema de dude bro. Yeah,
I think
Fight Club would be along those lines.
I think Breaking Bad was cinema de dude bro now that I know that term.
Isn't that fun?
Sure.
In the later seasons,
They're just putting Instagram filters on everything and like, let's
welcome
start
to
with
Mexico.
A,
it's yellow.
Yeah. And it's a Pollos Hermanos commercial for no reason, like for 4 minutes. Yeah. It was a great show, but I definitely think it was like, we're being awesome.
I wish I'd asked you this before. Did you not like Breaking Bad for the same reason you don't feel like you like Orange is the New Black? Just because you say like the reality of prison and like.
Yeah. No, I loved it, but it did make me tense. And then I was like, I'm going to rewatch it. And then I was like, no, I forgot how tense this show makes me.
But I would say that.
Isn't that weird?
The meth thing is such an anomaly. Well, I mean, it's not an anomaly, but like just culturally and in our minds, that's more of an anomaly than like prison is such so much more a fact of life, I would say.
But you see, Breaking Bad is a story of empowerment. It's a story of a guy with his cards down. It's a hip hop story. It's the idea you live in the projects and then you're going to sell drugs. You know what I mean? Like we love.
I love the Chelsea Peretti joke about that.
What's that?
White guys watch Breaking Bad, and they say, I could get cancer and rule the ghetto. It's like male wish fulfillment.
That's interesting.
You haven't heard that joke?
No.
Really?
That's a great joke.
It's a great joke.
But it's not just men. It's like we love stories of people overcoming things, coming from something. The world happens to me to I happen to the world.
Yeah.
That's the story of any like traditional kind of hip hop thing.
Yeah.
Or Breaking Bad or most movies.
Which is honestly why I'm like, I don't know why I've been trying for so long to talk about why I don't like rappers like Macklemore, like even
Childish,
yeah, or even like Childish Gambino, because they don't rap about like overcoming or anything. It's just like, it's been my dream and I did it, and it's like, okay, I don't care what you
Say in the case of Gambino, truthfully, I feel like he invents angst.
Yeah, no, he does.
You know what I'm saying?
He does.
And not to take anything away from his narrative or anything, because I'm sure there's parts of it that are legitimate, but when the feeling I get it is more of a narrative that's being created than one that's being told.
Right.
Does that make
sense? That's why you get your Eminemers, right? Eminem, and he's got his mom, and he's got his dad walking out, and all the shit, and then he just raps about that the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Like his new album, which I love, I'm a big Eminem fan, has stories about him in high school and stuff. So you're still, so if you're Donald Glover, who I don't even really know that well, but he's a great guy. I've seen Childish Gambino play and stuff, obviously great, talented. But like you're probably craving even more conflict. And I think for him, it's like breakups and stuff, right? Doesn't he kind of rap about girls?
Heartbeat. It's a lot of lady stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I pitch a podcast to you guys?
Please.
And this would be a Burger King situation.
Oh, sure.
Of one half of you.
How is this the movie?
How do they make it?
Yeah.
With Justin Mansakis.
Right. My friend.
Paula Poundstone.
My other friend.
And June
Diane Raphael.
No. June Squibb from Nebraska.
Okay. What's the real podcast?
The real podcast, I put this on Periscope, but I'm just wondering, is it would be, I would call it Christian Bale.
Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah, but not on my.
Oh, it's how people lost their faith?
Yeah.
Don't think you can bring a pun into this garage and not have
you
it sniffed out.
It would be Christian Bale, yeah.
I made up the Leary. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I got it from context clues because you said it would be a ripoff of mine.
Yeah.
I get it.
Christian Bale. Talk to people. I mean, booking would be close to impossible.
Why?
Because of the premise. Because I'm sure you can cloak it and like, it's comedy, it's sex and God.
And oh,
then
yeah.
They
and then
they think they can drive away.
Yeah.
But if you make it the meat of it, people are like, I'm not going to do that. Well, I don't want to talk about that.
If you make it the meat of it, but also, like, I mean, don't cloak it anything, but just be like, I'm not here to, like, interrogate you. I'm here to have a fun discussion.
No, because it's part of my story, you know, at this point. I used to work at a church, but it's been a tough time. It was always a tough time with the faith, but it's been a tough time ever since.
Right.
And so I would want that to be more the narrative than like, hey, why you hate God, you know?
Yeah.
Like operating from that position.
Nobody thinks you're going to be like, there's a couple podcasts that I've been asked to come on because they want to kind of rail their atheism into me or whatever.
Mm. I was there when someone pitched that to you.
That's crazy.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The ardent atheist.
Something atheist.
I'll bleep that out.
It's okay. Let's plug his podcast. It's called The Ardent.
I think it's The Ardent Atheist.
I guess he wanted AA.
Let's get it ardent in here.
And he's emailed me and stuff. And I could be wrong. It was just based on kind of the name of the podcast almost.
But it seemed a little too binary.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't want anyone to not be an atheist if that's working for you. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't want to debate. I'll just be like, how lovely. Yeah. Oh, just a materialist. That's great.
Right.
That's awesome. We need you. Keep doing it.
Which is essentially the dynamic we've developed in doing this podcast tonight.
How's that?
It's like, oh, it's not for me.
Oh, exactly. Keep doing you. Atheist.
Yeah, y'all kinda.
Yeah, I'm the atheist of the podcast.
Yeah. If you had to, because we...
But Gilmore Girls fans wouldn't know they were Gilmore Girl fans unless there were people that didn't like the show.
You know
If it was a given that everyone liked it, like We All Breathe Oxygen...
Like you're the control group.
There wouldn't be a fandom. Well, I make you exist is what I'm saying. I'm your God.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome. Kanye.
Alan Watts would say, if you see two circles in space, like we're just in perfect black space, you see two circles, you would have no idea how big they are except in relation to the other. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of like a fun little mind meld?
Yes.
Like we don't know. We're giants. We could be giants in other worlds or tiny in other worlds. So we only have context. So like the atheist makes the believer, and the believer makes the atheist the atheist. This is what we would call yin and yang.
Can I tell you what the first thing my dumb pop culture brain goes to when you talk about that
stuff? Sure.
Is the aliens playing with marbles and Men in Black.
I love that.
Oh, mine was to They Might Be Giants.
Ah.
Also true.
Yeah.
Pete, thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, tonight. Man. We even snuck in a little God talk at the end.
Well, and we always have the guests say, keep it crispy at the end, Peter.
Keep it crispy.
We'll just sing Keep It Crispy over the theme song. Peter, we have... I don't know why I keep calling you Peter.
That's great. It's my name. DJ Pete will call me some of the time as well.
Did you say DJ Gary Penn?
DGP.
Oh, DJ Gary Penn.
I wish I could make that noise.
Love yourself.
I assume. I don't know.
You made me think of a DGP thing. Oh, I get emails, you know, fan mail from time to time, and people are like, my therapist is well aware of you because you're like an archetype in my world. Like, you're one of the things that I communicate through. Like, this voice would say this, and this voice, like me with the podcast that I listen to, I would be like, well, this is what this person would do, but then it just comes up in therapy. That's a pretty flattering way to become a part of somebody's life.
Yeah, I was about to say, you probably don't feel the weight of that. It's probably just an honor.
Yeah, or, you're just like a Mickey Mouse or a Don. You know, mine art would be like, well, Don Draper would do this or whatever it might be at the time.
But in the case of you, it's not an inauthentic relationship. It's just one-sided.
Right.
It's not untrue in the way that a fictionalized Don Draper
is baloney.
Yeah. So I'd be crying.
I think I've pointed this out many times as a good laugh. I hope to end the podcast on when John Hamm did my podcast. I was talking to him as if he were the character so much that he said, you know, I'm not Don Draper. And I wanted so bad to say, I know.
You're Dick Whitman. All right, let's sing the theme song that we all know together.
Yeah.
On the road, feeling lonely and so cold.
Take it, Pete.
We're a couple girls named Gilmore.
And I'll be there. On the next train,
and the microphone smells like a fiddle.
Play me a song, baby. Piano man.
Yeah.
Heart attack. Richard Nixon, Studebaker television.
Wow.
Boy. I don't even remember how it
started. Tell me to.
You need me to be with you.
Is this the theme song to Gilmore Girls?
Sure is.
Hell.
This was in the beginning. You have no
clue. I like that song.
Goodbye.
In the moment.
Adios, everyone.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.